Corinthians chapter 13, and we're going to begin reading at verse number 1. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1 says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for your word. We thank you for your goodness that you have shown to us, Lord, and the love that you have demonstrated to us through your Son. We just pray you would bless us this day as we seek to understand your love, and that we seek to be transformed by it and to be a reflection of it to others, Lord. Just guide us in all truth this morning, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. And living in this world, being bombarded with the thinking of this world, all of us grow up with various understandings and assumptions on how things are, what things mean, how the world works. And it isn't really until we come to know Christ as Savior and our eyes begin to get open to the light, and we get into God's Word, and we start to discover that a lot of the things that we thought that we understood were complete misunderstandings. Many of the assumptions that we had were wrong assumptions. And there's our minds can be trained in a certain way, and we realize what we've been talking about over the last many weeks is that there's many things in which our minds need to be retrained. We need our minds to be washed with the water of the Word. Our minds need to be renewed and renovated. It's the whole idea that we need to identify and remove wrong thinking and replace it with right thinking based upon God's Word. And as we do that, and as we yield to God and to His Word, we get a new perspective on life. We get a new focus to our lives. And as we put thought into action, our lives are transformed by the grace and power of God. And now the various concepts that we have in this world, I think of none as is so true than the concept of love. We read in the Scriptures that God is love. That He doesn't just exercise love from time to time. He doesn't just say that He's a loving God, even though that's true. That He says of Himself that I am love. That He chooses to define Himself by love. And in turn, love itself can only truly be understood in the context of who God is and what He does. And so thus, we would understand love to share the very attributes of God. To be a holy and a beautiful and a glorious thing. But the devil, we recognize, has sought to take love in all its beauty of what God has made it to be and to cast it into mud, to give it a form so unlike what it actually is. And we think of this in our society, and especially kind of from the 60s onward, there's so much expressed in word and song about love, and all you need is love, and all these other songs that we can think about. Most of the things on the radio today, you would say, have to do with love of some sort or another. But when we really look at what the world shows love to be and what the Bible says it is, there's precious little in common. And you think about that to the world, that love is considered this mysterious, uncontrollable feeling. That from the time of the Greeks and the Romans, we have these mythological creatures, Eros with the Greeks, Cupid with the Romans. This creature who shoots us with arrows indiscriminately, and we fall madly in love that we can't control it. It just happens. And in the world that we live, we see that this idea of love seems to excuse away all manner of evil. That's this idea, well, you can't control love, you can't, when it hits you, you can't control what you do as a result of love. And so you can't fault anyone for what they do for the cause of love and what they do to express that love. But the fact is that a lot of what the world today calls love, love actually has nothing to do with it. Lust, yes, but love, no. And as well, love is something that the world tells us that not only can you fall in love, but you can fall out of love. And that's something that you can't control either. And how many spouses have heard those words from their partners? Well, I just don't love you anymore. Love, as the world defines it, is as fickle as we are. That we change our minds, that love can happen and it can be there and it can go away. It ebbs and flows. Love as well, something that we say a lot of, but it's not something that we do a lot of. That it's a word that we use, it's a word, sadly, that we abuse to the point where it loses all meaning. And for some, love, the word love, becomes a weasel word that they use to manipulate others with. And for most of us, love is something that we are slow, that we show love or we express love in order to get something from someone else. That we all love only if that love is returned. If we get something out of the bargain. And if the relationship that we're in is not giving us what we want, then we are going to go, whether it be a marriage relationship, whether it be a family relationship, or even in a church relationship. And it's the thing is that having lived in this world, being of necessity, just as it happens, being conformed to this world, that's the love that we have, the perspective of it, the understanding of it that we have. And even as Christians, this can be the love that we show to our family, to our brothers and sisters in Christ, to the lost, and even to God Himself. But as we get into the Scriptures, it becomes clear that we have no understanding of love, and really we have no capacity to love apart from God. That we are sinners. We are by our very nature selfish. And we love ourselves, but we don't love God, and we don't love others as He desires. And so our understanding of love comes from God. We read in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, how it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." That we understand love through Him. That we're enabled to love through Him. That we're corrupt, that we're tainted, that we don't have that capacity in ourselves. And He has to teach us how to love. And by sitting at His feet is how we learn to love. That He wants to make it clear. And so we see in the Scriptures that God calls us as His people to love. But He gives a very clear distinction. We see in John 13 and verse 34. Where He says this to His disciples. He says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another." And we think, okay, that seems to be easy. We're supposed to kind of like each other, kind of get along. But we see what He says there, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. That He's not saying love each other the way the world loves one another. Love each other the way I have loved you. That He gives us the example. He says, this is the standard that you need to be conformed to. Not the world's standard, my standard. We see as well in Ephesians chapter 5, when He's speaking to husbands and giving them their responsibilities to their wives. He says, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 25. He says, "Husbands, love your wives." And as husbands, we think, okay, well, that seems fairly easy. But what does it say there? "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it." That sets the standard much higher. And we realize as men, if we're honest with ourselves, much higher than we are capable of without God's help. that we can do the best we can, but to love as Christ loved, we need Christ's help. And He wants to give that to us. And that's really, I think, as we understand that verse completely as men, that it drives us to our knees, it drives us to God's throne, ask Him for the grace that we need to be able to do that as we should. And so we want to understand that God is love, and that God has set the example for us as to what love is and how we are to love other people. Now we think, well, the best known verse in all the Bible, John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We see as well in Romans chapter 5, beginning verse 6, it says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And it's the thought of just God's love for us, where we were totally unworthy, where we were His enemies, that Jesus Himself told His disciples, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And we would say, yes, that's remarkable. That's the height of a man's love, what man is capable of doing, to actually lay down his life for his friend. But we find with God's love that it goes even further beyond that. That not only did He didn't just lay down His life for a friend, He laid down His life for us when we were His enemies. And just how incredible that could be. And we think of the Lord Jesus when He was on the cross of Calvary being mocked and scorned and having suffered so much, that what were His words on the cross? He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." To have that capacity for those that hated Him, those who rejected Him as their King and probably would spend the rest of their life rejecting Him as King, He asked His Father to forgive them. And so we see that love. And it is such a beautiful and a glorious thing, so high that we recognize that by our own strength we can never attain to that. But we realize that's where God wants us to end up. That's the love that He wants us to show to others. And we want to learn from Him. We want to understand, and it's by His grace and His grace alone that we're enabled to do that. And so that's the thing, is that we want to get at the feet of Jesus and to learn from Him, to daily seek to conform this image. And so that at some point that we are going to be transformed from loving the way the world did to loving the way that He did. That you think of it, of what Jesus said to His disciples, "By this shall all men know that ye are My disciples, by that ye have love one to another." And so it's the idea that our mark is God's disciples, that people know that we're followers of Jesus is by the love that we have one to another. And so we want to demonstrate that we are followers of Christ by the way that we love. And so from the Scriptures we see various principles that God lays down and exemplifies concerning love, and we want to dwell upon them. Of course, 1 Corinthians 13, we're going to get that at the end, and that's one of the biggest ones that speak of what love is. But we see some others I want to bring up before we get to that as well. That, first of all, we see that the love of God and the love that we're supposed to emulate, it's not something that's variable, that ebbs and flows, that we have it one day and then we diminish and lose it. From what we understand from the Scriptures, the love of God and the love that we are supposed to exemplify is constant. Jeremiah 31 and verse 3. We see these words that God spoke to His people. "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee." That we recognize that of God's love. That it isn't something where it ebbs and flows. God does not change. And so His love does not change. It isn't something with His children of Israel that we think, well, He loved them for a certain time and then He changed His mind and said, "No, I don't want you as a people anymore. I don't love you anymore." No, He loves them with an everlasting love. He still loves His people. And we realize that of how it is, that is what love is. And you think of the words that Shakespeare once wrote many years ago, and that we would say that this fits with what we see in the Scripture, where he says, "Love is not love, which alters when it alteration finds, or bends with the remover to remove. Oh no, it is an ever fixed mark that looks on tempests and is never shaken." And that's the love that God wants us to have. That's the love that he shows to us. It is constant and consistent. It isn't something where we sin and he loves us less. That his love is the same, or that we do good and he loves us more. That he's going to love us the same. He is the same yesterday and today and forever. He's going to love us the same yesterday, today, and forever. That it's consistent. And so he wants us to have that as well with the people that we love. That it doesn't ebb and flow based on what they do that pleases us or discourages us. That we love them the same. As well, we see from the Scriptures that even though to the world, love is something that we talk about a lot, we see from the Scriptures that love is something that isn't supposed to be just something we say. It very much has to be something that we do. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeing his brother have need, it shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." That love is an action, that we have to do something, that it's a thought, that if we see someone that is in need, and we can help that person, and we just walk on by, then that's a sign that we have no sense of the love of God, that we do not have the love of God dwelling in us. And we think of the parable of the Good Samaritan, of how this man fell among the thieves and was beaten, was left half dead, and that there was these different ones that went on the other side of the road, just left that person to die. But yet this Good Samaritan came and picked him up and helped him and had compassion. But that's what God wants us to do, because we realize that's what God has done. That he looks upon this world and he sees that all of us are sinners. All of us need a Savior. All of us need some way of our sins being forgiven and cleansed. And he didn't walk by us and ignore us. That we realize that he did what was necessary. He had the resources and he provided his Son to provide a way of salvation for us all, so that any believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He did what was necessary so that no person has to end up in hell. And it's only because people reject his love that they enter there. No one can enter into hell saying, "Well, God didn't love me enough." That when they truly understand, they realize God loved me and I rejected it. And that is why I am here today. That we realize that, and that is what God wants us to do. If we can help someone, if he's given us the means to help, we need to do that. We need to show our love, not by our words, but by our actions. We see someone that is struggling, we don't just say, "Depart ye, be warmed and filled." We give them what they need to help them in whatever struggle they're facing. And so that can be physical, it can be emotional. Sometimes it's a thing, just saying a few words just to encourage something. That may be all that we can do, but it can mean a great deal when we do that. And that's what God wants us to do. As well, we see from the Scriptures that love is not something that is selfish. Love is something that is selfless. That we don't love in order to get. That we love in order to give. And we see with God that he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And he wants us to have that same thought, that when we love someone, it means that we're willing to give of ourselves, give of our time, give of our talents, even sacrificially, that we give on others because he gave sacrificially for us. We read in Matthew chapter 5 these words, and it's very important to understand of just the level and the standard to which God calls us to love, and the standard to which we are to be conformed unto. We see in verse 43, it says, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." That's a thought, that we're to love others even if that love is never reciprocated, is never returned to us. That if we just love the people that are going to love us back, what reward have we? How are we any different from everyone else? But when we're able to show love to people that will never return it, that continue to treat us awfully, then that is showing us that we're following the pattern that God has laid down. Because you think of it, how He has shown His love to mankind and how so many rejected, how He gave Himself as a ransom for all. But there's, even for those, as we read in 2 Peter 2:1, it says that there are those that who deny the Lord that bought them. The ones that even though salvation was provided, that they reject God. And yet He still loves them. He still showed His love to them. That we see that, and we understand that. That's what love to be. Even if there's no return on it, that we still show love. It's a love exemplified by a spouse whose lifelong partner has dementia or Alzheimer's, that doesn't remember them, that when they come to visit, they're looked upon as an intruder, but yet they still come and visit and minister to the needs of their partner that is now an invalid. That it's something that I remember and I always deeply respect about my dad was his mom, as she got older, she got dementia or Alzheimer's or whatever it was, and he would go and visit her every week. And he'd go and wake her up and take her to have coffee. She always wanted that and talk with her. And then she'd bring her back to his room and she'd doze off in the chair. Then she'd wake up and say, "Well, I want you to take me for coffee." And say, "Well, no, Mom, we already went for coffee." And she'd argue with him. And it would have to come to a point where he'd just have to say, "Bye, Mom, I love you." And then he'd close the door. But that would happen week after week. But week after week, he would still come. And just, I always remember that and respect my dad for that. Just the love that he showed to his mom. And that is the love that God wants us to show to others. And so that brings us now to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which we began with, and which we want to dwell upon in the time remaining this morning. Now 1 Corinthians 13 truly gives the clearest definition of what the love is and of God is. And here we see it referred to specifically and translated as charity. And it gives us a sense of love in action, of what it is, of the godlike type of love. And so it's something that we want to understand all that this says, that this is the love, as we read this, this is the love that God shows us. And as well as we read it, we realize this is the love that God wants us to show to others. And so in the first three verses, we get very much the sense of if we don't have God's love in what we're doing, in what we're saying, in all our actions, even if we do good actions, it doesn't count if God's love isn't there. That we can do the right things for all the wrong reasons, that we need to have that love of God as part of everything that we do. And we understand that and we realize our need for it. But as we read these things, as it says, charity suffereth long, and charity, of course, is love. And some I want just kind of an exercise for each of us as we go through this to understand. It's, in many ways, you compare it to math, where you have, if this equals this, then this is true. That It's kind of the idea that we understand it's talking about charity. It's talking about God, or it's talking about love, rather. And so, because God is love, when we see the word charity, it is not a stretch or it's not a twisting of the scriptures to take charity and put God there and realize that each of these statements fits Him so well. As we read, first of all, it says, charity suffereth long, verse 4. We can say, God suffereth long. And we would say absolutely how long-suffering He is with each of us, of how we wrong Him and hurt Him time and again by our sins, and yet He still loves us. That it talks about Lamentations, is of His mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. That if He was to mark iniquities, none of us would stand. But the fact is that He puts up with us as long as He does. It's such an incredible thing. It says, charity suffereth long and is kind, that we recognize God as kind, that He is actively benevolent in our lives, that of the things that He does, it talks about in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17 of how He gives us all things richly to enjoy. And in Matthew chapter 5, how He sends rain upon the just and the unjust. Of all these things that He does, of the mercies and the kindness that He shows to us, of times where we deserve His judgment, but yet He is merciful, times where we're hurting and He heals us and forgives us and strengthens us. But all of this is such a blessing. That we think of how it talks about charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. That we know with God that all these things are true, that He doesn't behave Himself unseemly, that He is there is no variableness in Him or shadow of turnings, that He is absolutely righteous, that He does not rejoice in iniquity, He rejoices in the truth, that all the things that He bears for us and believes all things, hopes all things, and endureth all things. And it says, in charity never faileth, we know that God never faileth. That we can put our trust in Him and we will never, ever be ashamed for doing so. And so we think of it because God is love, that these things are true. And we reckon as well that Jesus is God. And so all these things are true as Him as well. That we think of Jesus, where charity suffereth long, that Jesus suffereth long for us. We just think of the suffering that He endured on the cross of Calvary because He loved us, because He wanted to provide a way of salvation for us all, how He was willing to do that. We think of throughout His whole life that He was kind, He was compassionate, that He saw these people as sheep having no shepherd. He began to teach them many things. Even though they had no food, He knew that they needed to be fed, and so He prayed to His Father to miraculously provide them food. That He showed kindness to him. That we see throughout His life, He didn't seek His own. He didn't try to promote Himself. That a lot of times He did a miracle and He told people, don't tell anybody about this. That He wasn't trying to get all this notoriety. That we know that there was no guile found in His mouth. That he there was no evil within Him. And that He was not one that was easily provoked. That he bore all those things for us. And He endured all those things for us. And we have even a hymn, the title is Jesus Never Fails. And how true that is. And how much of a blessing that is. And so as we think of that because God is love, and because Jesus is God, this is true, but we recognize too from the scriptures that we are to be conformed to Christ's image. So when we see these words, where we see charity suffereth long and is kind, that we recognize this is what God wants me to be to the people in my life, to my spouse, to my children, to my parents, to my brothers and sisters in Christ, to my neighbors, to the lost around me, whether they hear what I have to say or not, whether they treat me well or whether they persecute me. I'm supposed to show this love. That if we're to love someone, it is a commitment that is lifelong. And no matter what happens, we're going to continue with that. And so it may mean that we're going to suffer long, that there's things that we put up with much longer than we would say that we should, but we're willing to do it because we love a person. And that we're kind, that even though we might be mistreated, that we pray for them, that they persecute us and despitefully use us, that we show that compassion, that kindness, that we don't seek to return evil for evil, we seek to overcome evil with good. That we're not vaunting ourselves up, we're not puffed up, we're not getting everybody to look at me or do what I want, that we're willing to be servants, we're willing to minister to others. That we conduct ourselves with honesty and integrity, we don't behave ourselves unseemly. We're not seeking our own, that we're not easily provoked, that because we love someone, we learn to get our anger under control, that our emotions, that we learn to, because we love someone, to bring that under the obedience of Christ, that we do not allow it to cause harm. That we don't think evil, that we give people the benefit of the doubt, that we don't think the worst of them. That we rejoice not in iniquity but in the truth, and we seek to be truthful and honest in all things. That we're willing to bear all things, willing to believe all things, to hope all things and endure all things, and that people can count on us, that we never fail. That when we make a commitment, in whatever it is, especially in marriage, but in any other situation where God calls on us to love, that it is forever. That there's no turning back, there's no making excuses, that it's till death do we part, that it's certain. And that's what God wants us to do, that what God wants to transform us away from what this world presents as love, and really as we compare what the world presents as love and what God presents as love, we see how twisted and corrupted it is from that beautiful thing that God has demonstrated to us and that He wants to impart to us so that we can share with others. And so as we realize that, and it's something in our own lives, we realize the power and effect that God's love has had upon each of us. When we knew we were so undeserving, that yet He shows His love to us time and again, showing mercy and grace. And just the power that has had to transform us. That in the same way that we realize we want to be used of God, we want to demonstrate His love, we want to learn to love as He loves, so that it can have that power, that even the most stubborn hearts can be broken down by the power of love, just like the love of Christ and love of God. That's what happened in our own life, and that's what we want to see happen as we demonstrate God's love. And so may all of us, as we understand what the Bible speaks of love and what God calls us to do, may we be transformed. May we renew our minds. May we sit at Jesus' feet and come to Him in our need and say, Lord, I need You to help me in this, that I can learn to love as You have loved, so that we can minister and be a blessing to others as we desire. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank You again for Your word. We just pray You would help us, Lord, that we would learn to love from You, that You alone can teach us, You alone can enable us to do it, Lord. Just help us and use us in this day and hour, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to turn to one last hymn before we close today. Number 441. Love lives.